It's after 5:30, folks. I'd like to call the December 21st meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. And we're a little late getting settled. We just had two committee meetings, so our apologies to the public. Would everybody please join me, rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Roll call of members, please.
Ms. Pryor?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Stein?
Here.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
I am here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Ms. Herrera will be a few minutes late. Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Ms. McAsey?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
14 members present.
Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
Thank you. I'd like to ask for an executive session at the end of our regular meeting tonight for real estate negotiations. And also, I would like to ask that, I'd like to just mention to the public and the staff who are here that once we get through the basic beginning of the meeting, I will reorder the resolution, so I'll be looking out and see who's still with us and try to take things in order so people can go home. So so that we'll play it by ear when we get to that part of the meeting. The first part, next part of our meeting is privilege of the floor for the public, and I want to first invite Congressman-elect Richard Hanna, who's here. We are privileged to have a meeting with him. Richard, why don't you want to come up to the front microphone, please? Congressman-elect Hanna represents the towns of, let me see if I can get these in order, Lansing, Groton, Dryden, Caroline, Ulysses, Enfield, and Newfield. And here's the microphone here. So,
thank you. Thank you for having me here. I'm, as you just heard, I'm your congressman-elect representative to Washington for the 24th Congressional District. And it's worth noting there are 11 counties, so there are 11 groups of legislators out there. This one, this group was the first to invite me down as a group to meet them. I'm grateful for that opportunity. We spent, about an hour together earlier today. There's a great many things that we talked about and things that we can work on in common. And we all share one goal, and that is to the betterment of this community, this state, this district, and Ithaca. I have roots here. My family lives in Cayuga Heights. My sisters went to school here. I use your airport, so I'm very comfortable with what I know, and I look forward to spending the next 2 years living up to your expectations of this office and representing you in the way that you would expect me to. And to that end, we are going to have new district offices in Auburn, Cortland, which is nearby, of course. And we are also going to open up part-time offices in Norwich and Oneonta, and keep the district office in Utica, but move it to a more user-friendly place. So we will have a larger complement of constituent service agents, regional and district managers. So we're here for you, and we know that, and we want to serve you. So make us do that. Bring us your needs, your demands, and your questions, your criticisms, and your ideas. One of the wonderful things about coming down here tonight is that you're engaged and you care, and that's the overriding message. I'm going to leave here and think about it on my way home, but I'm grateful for that because I wish everybody would do exactly what this group of legislators has been thoughtful enough to do, and that is invite me down here, tell me some of your expectations, try to get a sense of who I am, I get a sense of who you are, and we can move forward as a team. And this is a nonpartisan office in my view. and that's the way I intend to run it. So I'll just leave you with the idea that I know above all that I work for you. This office is yours, and I want you to treat it accordingly. So make your demands often, make them tough, make them thoughtful, and don't be afraid to complain. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Beware of what you wish for Tompkins County.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Good night.
Thank you again for coming down.
Good night.
For everybody else out there, if you've signed up, I've got your slip here. If we get to the end of the list and you would like to speak, you can just go to the microphone. Please try to adhere to the 3-minute time limit, and Kathy will help you out with a sign. I've got Joe Wilson first, and then Jane Penrose.
Good evening. I'm Joe Wilson. I live in Ellis Hollow. I'm a retired educator and a recovering lawyer. I'd like to speak to the issue of the fracking ban petitions, or the resolution you have before you. You should pass a ban, among the many reasons are that industrialized fracking historically brings the following with it to each and every community: roads clogged, roads destroyed, road accidents, polluted air and water, short and long-term diseases, destruction of the outdoors, degradation of traditional sources of income and taxes, rents up, residential property values down, prices for consumables way up, accidents and industrial emergencies up, crime up, causing need for additional law enforcement officers, jail space, courts, and police equipment. The result is that we as taxpayers and you as legislators are faced with a choice between higher taxes or reduced services and a guaranteed lower quality of life. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Jane Penrose, and then Bob Howard.
Good evening. This evening I'm representing Concerned Citizens of Ulysses. We are a grassroots group currently working to ban heavy industry in our town. Our heavy industry, which currently occupies our attention, happens to be slick water, high volume hydrofracking, and we applaud your effort to plan to ban this dreadful practice on lands owned by Tompkins County. Looking at the big picture, we see a federal government which has exempted the oil and gas drilling industries from every, even a modest oversight. America's water and air are fair game for this profit-driven poison industry in every state in our nation, and so our federal government failed to protect us. Our state government has spent years crafting a supplemental generic impact statement, which is widely regarded as a bad joke by even faintly interested in public safety and or the environment. It is now presumably revising this woefully inadequate document. When it reemerges, the public will be given a mere 30 days to review it, after which it will presumably become law, a law that would be enforced by a handful of inspectors in a state in which tens of thousands of gas wells are contemplated, and so our state government has failed to protect us. This is why we, in little towns like Ulysses, feel we need to protect ourselves either through standalone laws or zoning code alterations against heavy industry such as hydrofracking. Nobody else can do this for us. And hence, we are so heartened to know that our county legislature agrees with us and is standing shoulder to shoulder with us in this battle, that we will decide the fate of upstate New York, if not the nation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jane. Bob Harris, and then Lisa Wright.
Bob Howarth. I live in the town of Ulysses. I work for Cornell, and I'm an expert on the environmental consequences of energy systems. I've provided you each with a holdout tonight, a handout. I wanted just briefly to mention one reason. I urge you strongly to support the resolution banning leasing on county land. One of the reasons that I personally am opposed to hydraulic fracturing as it's envisioned at the moment is I think it's actually a bad fuel, even for the nation, in terms of greenhouse gas warming. We have a paper that's submitted to a peer-reviewed journal. I heard back from the editor earlier today. It looks like our paper will be published this spring. It's in revision at the moment, and I have some work to do before it'll be published. But this is a summary of the paper. The figure, I think, is fairly self-explanatory. If you watch television at all or if you read reports, you'll hear that many think shale gas, natural gas in general, but shale gas is a good alternative for our nation's future, that it emits less carbon dioxide than other fuels when it's burned. That's true in the actual burning, but if you want to look at the entire consequences of global warming, you have to look at the emissions of other gases. We've done that. We've looked specifically at the emissions of methane gas, which is a very potent greenhouse gas. What this figure shows in blue is a comparison of Marcellus shale gas on the left with other fossil fuels our society is using or might use. The blue is the direct emissions from burning. The orange to pink colors there, I'm colorblind, excuse me, probably violet, show the methane effect in carbon dioxide equivalents. And the amount of methane that will be released from this enterprise is hard to estimate, so there's an unknown range, and we show a lower and higher estimate. But the bottom line is, if you include those estimates, we think that this gas is worse for greenhouse gas warming than is any other fossil fuel available to the United States at the moment. For those of you who are technically inclined, I have a whole bunch of technical comments on the back. I won't go through those. I'd be happy to talk to anyone about it later. The bottom line is that there isn't all that much new in our analysis. This will be the first peer-reviewed report on what the greenhouse gas footprint of shale gas is. There is nothing else out there in the literature. But our findings aren't all that surprising. They're broadly consistent with what's out there in the peer-reviewed literature. Particularly, there's a paper in Science last year showing that methane is a far more powerful greenhouse gas than people had thought previously. We relied on that. I've talked with the IPCC lead authors. They are in agreement with that report, and they agree with how we're using it in our analysis. That's the big breakthrough. There isn't all that much new in it otherwise. So, again, thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Lisa Wright, and then Ellen Harrison.
Good evening. My name is Lisa Wright, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to address the Tompkins County Legislature tonight. I support the ban resolutions. Over the next several decades, there are predicted to be over 70,000 Marcellus shale gas wells and perhaps many more Utica shale gas wells in New York State. 100 years from now, we will not only have the tens of thousands of known and unknown abandoned conventional wells in New York State, we will also be stuck with more than 100,000 capped Marcellus and Utica shale gas wells with aging plugs, aging cement, aging casing, aging pipelines, dilapidated compressor stations, condensate tanks, and landfills. A New York civil engineer familiar with oil and gas wells says over time a percentage of these wells will most certainly leak. Tens of thousands of unconventional shale gas wells, unconventional meaning mammoth industrial operations that will require a large amount of infrastructure in order to obtain a finite amount of what is touted as a bridge fuel. All of this disruption to our land, water, and ecosystems for a few decades of a non-renewable fuel source. It doesn't take a PhD to figure out that the problems that will be brought on by this scale of gas extraction are not worth the costs. We need to divorce ourselves emotionally from the shale gas bonanza and highly financed misinformation campaigns of the gas industry and soberly look to our collective future. New York State's Climate Change Plan Interim Report from November 2010 barely touches upon the role of gas in New York State's green future. That's a pretty big oversight considering parties on both sides of the shale extraction debate say that New York's landscape will be significantly transformed by this industry. Additionally, the role of increased methane leakage in an increasingly gas-industrialized New York State and United States is likely to be extremely problematic as we address climate change and global warming. So ultimately, what will New York State gain and what will New York State lose from shale gas extraction? Dr. Susan Christofferson of Cornell University is looking into the true economic costs and has already uncovered very problematic findings. It is not clear that New York State will be economically advantaged by shale gas extraction in the long term. Knowing we will be left with over 100,000 plugged and eventually leaking gas wells 50 to 100 years from now, how can we morally justify any short-term so-called gains? So if we can limit shale gas extraction in any way, shape, or form on a county level, that's at least a good start. I applaud the responsible leadership of this legislature on the ban resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Ellen Harrison and Adam Laws after Ellen.
Thank you.
Lisa and anybody else who's got a written statement, if you want to pass that up, then Kathy can include the whole thing in your in the minutes. Thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. I also am speaking in favor of the ban of drilling on county lands. I represent an organization called FLEASED, F-L-E-A-S-E-D, people who signed gas leases before they understood and knew about the kind of drilling we're talking about, people who now want to get out of their leases because they think it's going to be a horrible, both for the environment and for communities. I'm actually here to say I'm proud of all of you, and I'm proud of Tompkins County. I think this legislature understood early on, where that means a couple of years ago, it's been a steep learning curve, understood that this is not a slam dunk great economic prospect for our county. And I had a recent experience of going to Bradford County, which is in Pennsylvania, where there's a fair amount of drilling going on, presentation by the head of one of the three county commissioners, an elected official. And he was recounting a lot of the costs Joe was talking about, you know, more in jail spending, more probation, more social services. They were losing staff because the county highway staff were being hired away, the secretaries were being hired away, lots of economic costs to the county. And a question came from Ken Schlather, who's the head of Tompkins County Cooperative Extension, and he said, how are you paying for all this? And he said, taxpayers. The costs are going to be enormous to many of us. And I applaud you guys for recognizing that early on. I guess I want to close by saying, you know the statement, Tompkins County, 10 square miles surrounded by reality. Well, in this case, I think we're 10 square miles of reality surrounded by a lot of wishful thinking. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Adam Law, and then Marie McCray.
Hi, my name is Adam Law. I thank the chair and the members of the Tompkins County Legislature for allowing me three minutes to endorse the resolution prohibiting the leasing of county-owned land for natural gas drilling using high-volume hydrofracking. It is my opinion as a physician and endocrinologist that hydraulic fracturing of shales represents a significant potential health hazard to humans. I have surveyed the literature on the health effects with Professor Madeline Finkel from the Department of Public Health at Weill Cornell Medical College, and our peer-reviewed paper is in press currently with the American Journal of Public Health. The resolutions we make in Tompkins County are influential in the New York State level. On April 23, 2010, I gave a presentation to the medical staff at the Cayuga Medical Center on the potential health effects of hydraulic fracturing. Dr. Judd Kilgore was in the audience. He subsequently proposed a resolution in favor of a moratorium at the Tompkins County Medical Society, and this was passed unanimously on June 10, 2010. On June 26, 66 physicians in Tompkins County paid for an advertisement calling for a moratorium. Between July 13th and November 26th this year, the Medical Society of Otsego, Broome, Oneida, Herkimer, Madison, Chenango, Oswego, Cayuga, Chemung, and Onondaga counties either signed resolutions or sent letters supporting a resolution, often using very similar wording to those in our advertisement in the original moratorium proposal to our county medical society. On October the 14th, the Family Health and Preventative Medicine Subcommittee of the Medical Society of the State of New York unanimously endorsed a moratorium on gas drilling. This was chaired by Dr. Jeffrey Moore, a local physician. On December the 9th, the Medical Society of the State of New York passed the following unanimous resolution. Resolved that the Medical Society of the State of New York supports a moratorium on natural gas extraction using high-volume hydraulic fracturing in New York State until valid information is available to evaluate the process for its potential effects on human health and the environment. This shows how local physicians of Tompkins County, concerned about the health effects of hydraulic fracturing of shales, has translated to a strong statement in favor of a moratorium at the state level. Let's do the same with one of these resolutions before the county legislature and start the ball rolling with this important precautionary statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Law. Marie McRae, and then Margaret McCaslin.
Good evening. I'm Marie McRae. I live in Dryden. And I, too, am proud to be here in front of a legislative group that is proposing a resolution prohibiting leasing county land for gas drilling. There are a lot of different phrases to describe this process, so I want to be very clear that what I'm talking about and what you're proposing banning on county-owned lands is the heavily industrialized process that involves drilling deep vertical holes into the earth and then drilling long horizontal legs off of each of those verticals. To extract the fossil fuel from deep underground layers, water, sand, and chemicals are then injected under high pressure into those well holes. Enough chemicals in each well to outweigh three elephants. This whole process is often called by the name high-volume slickwater hydraulic fracturing. But let's be clear here again that that phrase describes only one part of the entire industrialized process. There can be many unintended consequences from this drilling and extracting. No regulation can prevent the heavy metals and radioactive substances loosened by this process from coming up to the surface with the fossil fuel. No regulation can prevent 30% to 70% of the toxic chemicals from remaining underground. No regulation can predict or control the underground migration of toxic plumes. No regulation can prevent the extraordinary squandering of fresh water, 5.5 million gallons average per well, 100% of which becomes 100% contaminated. And this is in an era of diminishing availability of fresh water in the U.S. and worldwide. No regulation in this era of economic plummet can magically find the billions needed to construct waste treatment plants that might be able to filter the toxic chemicals, heavy metals, and radioactive materials from the waste. No regulation is what New York State currently has for this process. None were proposed in the draft supplemental and generic environmental impact statement, and I expect that none will be brought forth in the next incarnation of that document. As you deliberate tonight, please bear in mind the long-established record of oil and gas extraction corporations. For decades, they've been and continue to be rapacious, sloppy, and inhumane. There's only one way to render this practice safe, and that is to ban it outright. Anything less dooms us. I urge you to approve this drilling ban for Tompkins County-owned lands. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie. Margaret McCaslin.
Hi. I live in Lansing, but I've lived in many parts of Tompkins County. I have with me a list of all the lands that the county owns in different parts of Tompkins County, and I had not realized how many parts of the county is owned by the county. Many of you have probably heard that there are only two parts of Tompkins County that are potentially viable for drilling in the Marcellus Shale, and that's bits of Newfield and bits of Caroline. However, deep down below the Marcellus Shale is the Utica Shale, and it is drillable under all of Tompkins County, all of these places, and it's being regulated by exactly the same state guidelines that the Marcellus is being regulated. So that makes this ban even more important because it will protect not only those areas that might be drilled in the Marcellus for gas, but also those places that might be drilled in the Utica Shale. And the Utica Shale won't be the first place to be drilled because it's deeper down, it's going to be more expensive. But if the infrastructure comes to this area from Marcellus, it won't cost them much more to go after Utica. The other thing I'd like to mention is that Marie gave a good description of a well hole, but I want to mention another reason why it's really important you pass this. Each drilling pad is going to have 6, 8, sometimes even 16 or more well bores per drilling pad, because only an area in about 100-foot diameter off each horizontal line can be fractured to produce gas. So they go out in every direction. I call a typical drill pad with 8 arms a dirty octopus. But they often, if it's a thick layer, go down below that and do another 8, a double dirty octopus. And the amount of chemicals, the amount of fumes associated with over a dozen wells per drilling pad could be phenomenal. The last thing I want to mention is that gathering lines and treatment station, processing stations are also a very important part. And I don't know if this ban covers them or not, but I think it's very important that a subsequent ban address those also industrial activities. We already know what it's like to live with compressor stations in Ellis Hollow, where I have lived. And again, the more we draw a line in the sand in Tompkins County, the more we educate the rest of the state and the rest of the country. And I'm taking this information to Australia, where they're starting to frack. So what we're doing is very important, both for educational purposes and for showing leadership. So thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. I have Tomo Shibata. And that's the last person who signed up.
I suspected some instance of public corruption, so I needed to report that. Licensed marriage and family therapist Joanne Conway, who works in the forensic unit at Tompkins County Mental Health Clinic, requested me to see her right after I received the, I was banned from the Cornell University for 1 year. And Ms. Conway said that she works with the local police officer in the officer capacity as a forensic specialist, and that lieutenant at the police told her that he interpreted the unusualness of my complaints concerning organized stalking abuse as the indication that I could become a random shooter. Giving a random shooter at Virginia Tech was East Asian. A half year later, I talked with the deputy chief of the university police on the phone and asked to verify this information concerning this racially biased suspicion. He was surprised and said that there's no suspicion of random shooting, and that indeed a number of people have filed allegations against me which could be qualified as a crime. What is the motivation of Ms. Conway at the forensic unit of the county mental health clinic to give me such a wrong legal information, which prevented me from questioning the reason behind this persona non grata, and from realizing the existence of these allegations itself? That is to say, by using this lie, Ms. Conway indirectly helped those who filed these allegations with not being questioned by the alleged, meaning myself. Further, a FOIA request of incident reports filed at the Ithaca Police Department revealed that Ms. Conway is principally advising the police, especially through Sergeant Deborah Lawrence, to believe that my complaints are delusional. As a result, the police have not conducted any investigation on my complaints other than referring me to Ms. Conway at the County Health Clinic. For example, as noted in the incident report case number 10-11312, I complained about a rifle being placed in front of me by a members of Crime Syndicate in order to extort $4,000 from me. I was not investigated by the police at all, even though the incident reports also notes that there were prior reports also stating that the suspect possessed a rifle. I suspect that there might be a bribery going on between the Crime Syndicate and some of the county employees. And as a result, I have been subjected to further not only theft or extortion, but also invisible assaults such as electronic weaponry assaults, which is prohibited not in New York State yet, but the Massachusetts state of Massachusetts passed the Act Chapter 170 of Acts 2004. Named an act relative to the possession of electronic weapons, which says no person shall possess a portable device or weapon from which an electrical current, impulse, wave, or beam may be directed, and which current, impulse, wave, or beam is designed to incapacitate temporarily, injure, or kill, except a federal, state, or municipal law enforcement officer.
It's time to wrap up.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. But this kind of weapon has been used against me in my apartment and so forth, and I'm just suspecting some public officials' corruption involved in this this organized stalking abuse case. Thank you.
Thank you. I saw Sarah Hess raise her hand. Does anybody, Sarah, do you want to come to the microphone? And if anyone else would like to speak, follow Sarah. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Sarah Hess. I live in the city of Ithaca, and I won't repeat a lot of what my friends have said, but I thank you all for taking the issue of drilling on county lands to the table, for your thoughtful discussion, and for your vote on it tonight. Like Ellen Harrison, last week I went on a tour of Bradford County with 12 other people from Tompkins County, organized by Co-op Extension. Although I've been working on this issue for about 2 years, I was surprised by the things that I heard there, and I think some other people were too. I just want to mention some of the specifics. In Bradford County, we listened to a county commissioner, a supervisor of a town, and someone who was in charge of economic development. They said that the county services have increased, and the examples they gave were a 30% increase in police, fire, and ambulance services in response to traffic problems, accidents, DWIs, and various crimes. Trucks run 24 hours a day, so road safety is seriously impacted because of both the volume of traffic and because the drivers don't necessarily have experience with heavy loads on small roads, especially in winter conditions. Pennsylvania State Police find a high portion of trucks with safety problems when they do road checks. 10% of the probation department clients are from Texas and Oklahoma, along with 8 to 10% of those who are in the county jail. Of these clients, 95% are in for crimes that are related to alcohol and drug abuse. Housing costs have been particularly difficult for families and many individuals there. Costs have tripled and sometimes even more. An apartment, they gave an example, that rented for $250 now rents for $800 or $1,000. Obviously, this puts many individuals or families in a very unstable situation. And one of the results is that they've had an increase in children who are being placed in foster care. The courthouse has had to reduce their hours when deed searching can be done because they can't staff the amount of requests for information. And as Ellen said, because the income from property taxes, and I should add that they only have income from property tax, they do not get a share of the state sales tax as we do in New York. But the increase, the income that they have from property tax is not nearly kept up with the increase in their expenses. And it's inevitable that they will be raising their taxes. They didn't say when, but the implication was sometime soon. At this point, they've stretched their dollars as far as they can. They gave examples of electronic monitoring to keep people out of jail and combining departments and doing all sorts of mitigation methods to try to deal with the cost increases. But obviously, it hasn't been enough, and they will be raising their taxes, as they reported to us. Of course,
okay.
Some businesses
wrap up, sir.
Have benefited, but with each of the presenters, they listed as many negatives as they listed pluses in their assessments. So again, I thank all of you for all the work that you've done. I think I'm proud of a county that has paid a lot of attention to this, and thank you for your vote tonight.
Thank you, Sarah. Is there anyone else who would like to address the legislature? Let me just remind you, if you want to pass something up or if you want to email it to Kathy at ccovert@tompkins-co.org, then your statement will be recorded in full. I would like to invite legislators for privilege to the floor, beginning with Pam McAsey.
So one of the things I enjoy the most about being a legislator is what we do once a month by recognizing the young people in our county. And we have a tremendous future in front of us by the looks of it, because we have so many amazing young people in our county. And we have heard, we get them from all over the county, and so it's my privilege to be doing it tonight. And I have the honor of working with a group from GIAC, and what I'd like to do is to list the names of the people who are part of this group and have them raise their hand, the ones who are here. Now, there's some people who couldn't come, so we all know who they are. And then I would like to read the letter of nomination that Marcia Fort, the head of GIAC, wrote. So let's see. Dacia McBean. Kelsey McBean. Kelsey McBean. Now, where have I heard that name before?
We don't know him.
Our own Leslin's son. Keisha McBean. Ashanae Brooks. Oops, and Danica Webb. Okay. Now, the people who are not here, who could not make it, are Dana Malcolm, Cheyenne Milton, Reggie Feaster, Jiquan Booker, Harmony Graves, Issa Nunn, and Giovanni Griffin. And Travis Brooks is here. He is on the staff at GIAC. So this is what I would like to read you, this letter. These young people representing the Greater Ithaca Activity Center and the Ithaca community attended the United States Social Forum that was held June 22nd this year in Detroit, Michigan, from the 22nd to the 26th. So they were there for a week. The young people began preparing for the trip 2 months before the forum. This included meetings to learn about grassroots social movements, the principles of the World Social Forum and the U.S. Social Forum, and what to expect in Detroit. They developed a theme, G-Activists, so it's G-Activists, which is very clever, to display on the T-shirts they proudly wore to distinguish themselves as a group. They also discussed ways they could share their trip experiences with members of our community when they returned. While in Detroit, the young people selected workshops they were interested in attending. These ranged from civil engagement from a grassroots perspective, peer-to-peer youth enterprises, hip-hop and strategies for social change, racial profiling, AIDS and the oppression of girls, using social media to make change. They also showed support for Ithaca's own Green Gorillas by attending the premiere showing of their new documentary. They took an active interest in the plight of homeless Detroit citizens. They talked to them, showed respect and compassion for them, and gave them food. When they returned to Ithaca, uplifted and energized, they shared their experiences with peers and presented at the July GIAC Board of Directors meeting. They made a presentation. They also participated in the planning for and presented at the community forum held in October to share the experiences Ithacans had at the USSF. We are proud of the diligence, interest, and active participation these young people exhibited as they planned for the trip and participated in the conference. They represented our community admirably. They give us hope for the future of our community, the U.S., and the world. We strongly support them and believe their achievements should be recognized. Thank you for your consideration. So here we are. Would any of you like to say anything? Oh, here. So we have Kelsey.
Imagine that.
You just wrote a little thank you. On behalf of the GAC teams who went with the to the U.S. Social Forum in Detroit this past June, I want to thank Legislator McAsey, thank you, for nominating us for this award. I also want to thank the Tompkins County Legislature for recognizing us with the award. We learned a lot while we were there, and be assured that we represented Ithaca and Tompkins County well. Everyone else who was there knows that of this fabulous place that is our home and that we are very proud to represent. Thank you.
We have a plaque for this group with all of your names, and it's in recognition of your outstanding commitment to your community, December 2010. And this, of course, is sponsored by Bangs Ambulance Service, Tompkins County Legislature, Cayuga Radio Group, Purity Ice Cream, and A&E Awards and Engraving. So here you go. Here you can share that and hold that. And then we have a little bag of goodies here. And I don't know what all is in here, but you all may look at that and divide it up as you will. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Pam. And thank you, G-Activists. I see we have a municipal official in the audience who wasn't here a few minutes ago. JR, would you like to address the legislature as a city official?
No, I'm here tonight as a mayor.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to give you the chance. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other legislators? Leslie.
I just want to give the public service announcement that I had nothing to do with the teams who were selected to go to the U.S. Social Forum, but I'm very proud of them, and I'm very thankful that Marcia nominated them. Just in case you want to know, if it is a McBean, yes, it belongs to me. So no need to ask. That's part of my small village, so very proud of them. So thank you all for representing well. And if you have a chance to just talk to these young people, you will hear of the amazing work that they did when they were in Detroit, the things they came back and shared, including working with the Green Gorillas and their energy-efficient bus, their oil bus. So they took a bus down there that runs on
vegetable oil.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And many of them had a hand in just trying to make sure that it kept going. So I'm very, very proud of those young folks. So thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Leslie. Anyone else? Mike.
We had kind of an interesting situation happen since our last meeting. You may recall that at our last meeting, a majority of the legislature was in favor of a resolution authorizing the bond funding for the PIF for the BJ's wholesale as it had been presented to us. It was kind of unusual that that came to the legislature before having a vote at the IDA. The IDA then voted afterwards and turned it down. I think it's a kind of it's interesting because it calls into our thinking what is the role of our representatives to a board like the Industrial Development Agency? Are they independent, appointed as independent people? Are they there as a representative of the Tompkins County Legislature? I'm not sure I have the answer to that. But we saw it work where a majority of the legislature thought we should do something, and yet the IDA, an appointed board of the legislature, said no. I would hope we would take a look at how these boards are structured. I hope all of our committees can be looked at next year. I know the Government Operations Committee plans to recommend that the next Government Operations Committee take that up as a task for next year, looking at various structures in the committees and advisory boards that we have. And how they are structured, what their terms are, how they're working, and be able to to come back to the legislature, perhaps toward the end of next year, and report about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Dooley?
Rather than wait till the Facilities Committee's report, I wanted to just let any members of the public who are watching us now and listening know that Lynette Short, who has worked in the Solid Waste Division for, it says here, 24 years now, is retiring. And so many people in different parts of the county will recognize Lynette's name. She has been in the schools working with kids. Her enthusiasm is unstoppable, and she's going to be missed a lot by a lot of people, but I just wanted as many people as possible to know that she is retiring. And she will be recognized at Solid Waste by a function of sorts on Wednesday, December 29th. Now, I'm not inviting you there. I can't do that. But it might be nice if you got in touch with her and said something to her before she does officially retire.
Thank you, Julie. Anyone else? Will.
Thank you, Martha. Today is the winter solstice. It is a short day. About 5 minutes ago, a group of intrepid cyclists met at the Turtle down in Cass Park and set off on what is billed as the shortest ride on the shortest day of the year. It's an annual event, and they're cycling around the park. It's a family activity. I mention it just to remind us that that people in this community continue to cycle throughout the year, and we are all benefiting from their effort. And if I weren't here, I'd be there. But thank you.
Thank you, Will. Anyone else? Carol?
Yeah, I want to thank all the people who came and spoke to us tonight. Make sure that, on Gastrolin in particular, make sure that any left out there know that it is fairly far down on our agenda, and we have some other things to talk about, although you certainly are welcome to stay. And I just... wanted to announce that the film Gasland that you some of you may have heard something about is going to be shown again in Tompkins County January 5th in the town of Ulysses at the town hall. Is that, you know,
I don't remember. You
have sent me the details, yeah. And I sent them off to Jim. We will have a meeting again, and I will give you the location. That is at 7 o'clock, and it will be shown, and then there'll be a panel of three people, including Martha Robertson?
No.
That was, the me was Ken Zesserson?
Yeah.
And two other people. Ken is on the Ulysses Planning Board, I believe, and to answer questions. We probably heard more detail tonight on the specific impacts, general impacts on local governments. But if you're looking for a vivid depiction of the images that people are talking about, in particular those shots that you hear about people lighting their tap water on fire, that is the movie to see. So that's on January 5th at 7 o'clock. You can watch for the announcements.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. We have a special presentation tonight. I just want to mention, if folks in the back, there should be agendas in the back, I think, that, and it may look like a long list of stuff, but most of it's the consent agenda, and then we will be able to move quicker, more quickly than it appears to the drilling resolution. So the presentation tonight is Barb Ekstrom, and I think it looks like you have a whole team here, Barb. Do you need to come up to the front? How do you want to handle this?
The proposed contract for the recycling center. Today is the culmination of about 18 months of effort from cradle to grave. What I think you really need to know is what an incredible lawyer we have here that has helped us to listen to what we want and to develop what we should have, and to get us to the point where we are today. I'm also really thankful to my staff who are sitting in the back And I'm thankful to the people as part of the review team, Joe, David, Dooley, and Jonathan and others. The F&I committee has been absolutely wonderful to work with. Went through a lot of difficulty and challenges, and we got here. And we have a number of people here tonight that are also very proud to hopefully become partners to Tompkins County for the next 10 years as we move toward 75% waste diversion at a cost that will be quite a bit lower, and there will be more materials to be recycled, and we are planning to enter into the next generation of diverting waste through the diverting line. So with that, that's what I wanted to say tonight. Thank you for listening to me and challenging me. And at this point, I wanted to turn the meeting over to Jonathan, who is going to summarize our, I think, three or four inch contract into, I believe, one page in a few minutes. And then I'm going to also ask our partners from FCR Recycling, who are here tonight. Sean Duffy, the president of FCR, is standing next to me. Graham Stevens is the director of sustainability and growth. Where's Steve? Steve Clayman is sitting over right here. He happens to be local and will be a big asset to us as well. Steve is the regional business development person, but Steve also has more common sense and good ideas than I certainly have, and he's been a really important part of the team. Scott Nostrand is from Barton LaJudice, and he's kept everybody on the straight and narrow as part of the design construction contract, and I am very happy about the fact that we're here tonight. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to Jonathan, and he'll give you the nutshell of what the contract is all about, and then Sean will talk to you for just a couple minutes about the company, what's going on in the world of recycling and markets, and that will be that for tonight.
Thanks, Barb. Obviously, we've been negotiating this contract for almost a year, at least 6 months, and to summarize it in just a few minutes is tough, but I hope I can do that. The main thing, or one of the main things, is instead of doing one contract, we decided to do two contracts this year, or this time. One being a design-build contract, in other words, to design the improvements to the facility and to construct the facility improvements, and then a second contract to which we call a service agreement to operate the facility over a 10-year period. There is a one-time right for each party to cancel at 5 years in case it's not working out, but it's two contracts, one to design and build and then one to operate. In the design part, the company is going to, they're basically divided into two basic areas. One is basically the outside of the facility, and one is the inside of the facility. In the outside, they'll be redesigning the traffic to improve traffic patterns. There'll be a different and improved traffic pattern there, and there'll be new and improved public drop-off areas, so traffic will go in and out better, it will be safer, and there'll be more areas to drop off materials, better separation and organization, and a bit more safety. They'll also be making other improvements to the building, inside the building. They're going to build a high-grade paper line and a commercial line for commercial recycling, which will enable us to basically maximize both waste diversion. Well, there'll also be a waste diversion line, but together these new lines will enable us to maximize the recycling, maximize waste diversion, and to take out the highest value products and get them to market so they don't go out with all the other recycling and it will, or with the garbage, and it'll enable us to get the maximum buck for the work. They'll continue to accept what we call MSW, garbage, at just like they're doing now, just like the company is doing now, load it and send it off in trailers. That's really the major, the one aspect of the contract, which is going to be pretty much the same as the garbage. Recycling is all different. They will transfer the single stream recycling, which is what residents and other people are leaving outside in their buckets. The materials now can all be mixed. They'll be taken to the facility, and they'll be loaded and taken to the Ontario County facility, where we have the benefit of combining with many other counties, so it's cheaper on a per-ton basis. And it also leaves our facility open to do these other recycling activities. It's just a much better arrangement of use of materials coming in and out. There'll also be an additional materials that they're going to accept and process. There are a lot of different materials that are handled individually, yard waste, construction and demolition debris, bulky waste, tires, clean wood, et cetera, all of which has been very crowded and hard to deal with in the current setup, but now they'll be much better able to deal with each type of item that comes in. And they're also going to be operating the new and improved public drop-off center, which is be receiving recycling and solid waste from the public. And importantly, we expect the state grant to pay for 50% of the construction activities, which is going to be just under $2.5 million. So we expect to get about half of that from the state. And all in all, it's a great improvement, I think, over what we have now. The facility will simply be put to better use. It will be much more service and customer friendly, and we'll be able to recycle a lot more and get more value out of the materials and garbage that's coming there. So with that, I'll turn it over. And looks like Sean has...
Thank you. As mentioned, I'm Sean Duffy, the president of FCR. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you tonight and answer any questions that you have. But we're really excited about this opportunity in the last 6 to 9 months, as Jonathan has mentioned, that we've gone through and really used a lot of innovation and teamwork to get to the solution that we think will be the best solution to get to the 75% diversion rate in the county. A little bit about FCR. We process in excess of 1.2 million tons a year of recyclables. We operate over 20 facilities. We employ over 850 people. Our regional office is in Charlotte, North Carolina, but we travel and we have local people like Stephen, who is invaluable to the process and our teams to recycle. That is all we do is focus on recycling. We design, build, and operate recycling facilities, but the utmost is that we build mutually beneficial relationships. And the partnerships that we build with Tompkins counties and counties alike are things that we're very proud of, that we do long-term. And as we mentioned, when we went through this process, through the bid process, we made sure that when they asked, who could we talk to of your customers that you have that can give a recommendation or talk to about your business, we said, here's a list of all of our operations. Talk to any one of them, because that's the confidence that we have of long-term sustainable relationships. So we look forward to a bright future. We think we can add value to the community here. We're excited about that. And with that, I would turn it back to Graham or any other questions. One thing that we do pride ourselves is the marketing of materials. And again, we have long-term sustainable floor pricing, future pricing, and quality is at the top of our list. The way we gauge our operations are safety, quality, productivity in that order. That is known from the first employee to the last employee. And so we look to bring that here to Tompkins County.
I'm going to introduce Graham. I think of all of us standing here, Graham Stevens has probably done the most work, although I would hate to count the number of hours.
That's
that
because Jonathan's sitting.
that have been contributed, and I really learned the meaning of a partner. Again, I mean, we've had others, but I am really, really happy about the fact that we found like-minded partners in the business community who truly can do a better job at marketing materials. And we have really valued the process. We started with 6 proposals of various kinds, and here we are tonight. And I am confident that this is a very wise decision, and I appreciate what what you have all done for us, and as well as our consultant Scott, who was able to really fit into this and lead the way with respect to the construction part of the project. So let me let Graham say a couple of words, and then we will be done, and we look forward to the decision tonight.
Really, the only words I have for are there any questions? I did want to mention that it's been a high bar that's been set by Barb and the members of your solid waste group. I think that they've been incredibly rigorous, but far more importantly, they've been incredibly passionate about the county's resources, and I think they've been a great reflection of the county and the group that is here, and we look forward to trying to meet that high bar that they've set. So if you have any other questions about some of the things that you've run across, as Jonathan mentioned, this has been 6 or 8 months working for us, and it's a document now that's about this big. But I think one of the powerful things that it does is it affords us the flexibility to change our business and to change the operations there as the waste stream evolves and changes over the next 10 years. So it's pretty exciting that all of that work and time that we put into it is merged into a document. I think that everybody who's here and back there and all the hard work they've done as well are excited and passionate about. So.
Are there any questions? Peter.
I guess this is probably my fault for not having recognized this before, but this is the first time I realized that we were, in a sense, outsourcing this operation. Isn't this... do I understand that properly?
You do. And from 20 years ago, that was a policy decision that was made by the legislature to do so, to basically take the best of the public sector and the best of the private sector and do this in a true partnership manner. It has worked well for us. We have been able to leverage the small amount of recyclables that we have compared with what was described as 1.2 million that are being leveraged by a company as this. We couldn't compete in the national or international commodities market if we didn't have the level of expertise to operate and to market the materials.
Do we do that? I mean, is this a transition in our operation?
No, this is what we've been doing since the beginning of our recycling efforts.
Aha.
We also we have many other contracts where we provide collection for recycling. We provide transportation to haul our trash. But truthfully, they're all done in a manner that places an incredibly difficult burden on the private sector to meet the kind of requirements that we have. And that's what the three or four inch document is all about.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
A lot of people to be complimented on the work they've done here. I wanted to speak about the process that brought it to this point, and I made this comment at the Facilities Committee, and I'd like to repeat it here. And I really think Barbara Ekstrom deserves a round of applause here, basically, for what she's done in leading this and rolling this out over the past year, both to the committee and to the legislature at all the various stages. And I don't want to not mention Jonathan or Joe or Ed or the folks from Barton LaJudas and NFCR and all of that. But I think Barbara has shown leadership here in a process that has kept us apprised of what was going on every step of the way. I would hope that we would look at this as a model for other kinds of projects the way it's been brought forth.
I really appreciate that comment.
I agree with that. Thank you. Thank you. Leslie.
I just wanted to ditto what Mike said and thank Barbara and others for their patience with us as committee members, because often it was not, we all weren't there.
to get the information on time sometimes and had follow-up questions that you'd already addressed, and you exercise a lot of patience with us. And so I do want to thank all of you for that. And just the clarity of the presentation so we can follow. I know what was a road, what was a wheel, what was going to be paper. It was just really clear. And so I really do appreciate it. And data what Mike said, especially with perhaps, I don't want it modeled, but presented as a model that we can follow for just about every other major project like this that we are doing. So thank you all very much.
I've learned a lot over the last 20 years, 24 years from the legislature, and what I've learned is that process is equally as important as outcome.
Transparency.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Kathy.
Thank you. I was thinking about the team that Barbara has put together over the years and how Barbara and the team can take credit for literally diverting thousands of tons of items from the waste stream. And that's quantifiable. It's something that we can all be proud of, but I think particularly it's a legacy that Barbara and the team can be very proud of.
We just need to make sure that the markets are doing the best they can. And Sean's been doing this for a long time. And if you were wondering what FCR stood for, the old name was Fairfield County Redemption. He was part of the original bottle bill and really came at this from, you know, from the beginning and the grassroots effort, and has successfully grown a very mindful company that practices what they preach.
Kevin.
My follow-up to that is one that won't be a surprise to members of the legislature and the public, and that is understanding that this project is one that will be managed by folks from out of state. I'm curious and hopeful that the jobs, the construction jobs that are going to be generated by this will also be available to local people.
One of the things that we're most proud of is the relationships that we build with our communities, and we know that starts with the employees that we hire. And so one of the things that we've done in working with Barb and the team is to come up with a local hiring solution where we're really going to target local advertising, not using Monster and some of these national things that other people wouldn't necessarily have access to, but to put up flyers for these jobs in local community centers as well as through the local press.
And the
construction as well. Obviously, we're using a local engineering group who's based here in New York, not somebody who's based down in North Carolina. So, you know, we are looking to them to also echo the practices that we have to look locally. And we're holding them to that contractually. So I think that will bode well for your community. And you have a history of great tradesmen.
We typically always use local for construction practices. And we're using chats from the Albany market and the New York local market here to be our guides to put that out and get the local contractors to do the work for us. So we're excited about that as well.
Thank you very much.
One final thing, there will be an increase in the number of jobs, depending, of course, on the tonnage and the time period that we're talking about. But if we're talking about doubling our recycling tonnage over the next 5 years, which is what I'm talking about doing, going from 12,500 to 25,000, the number of employees is up to 22, and we're currently seeing about 13. So.
With that, I wonder whether Facilities and Infrastructure Chair Dooley Kiefer would like to present the resolution that we, just while we're in a roll, we're on this topic, just move things out of order a little bit.
Thank you. I've been looking forward to this.
Good.
So I'll move resolution N, the revised version, award of contracts for the upgrading and operation of the Tompkins County Recycling and Solid Waste Center, pursuant to General Municipal Law Section 120W. I move it.
Thank you, Dooley. Seconded by Pam. Is there any discussion? Are we ready to vote? All in favor of revised resolution N, please raise your hand. Nathan. Any opposed? Nathan, I didn't see your hand.
I'm sorry, I'm in favor.
In favor. That's unanimous.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. This is a great accomplishment.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you.
See, I think that follows that general principle. The more money the contract, the less we talk about it. So. Thank you all very much. We look forward to seeing it unfold.
Groundbreaking and grand opening.
All right, so let's go back to a bit of an order that we had. For my report, very briefly only, we have four labor negotiating teams that for which we have representatives, and three of the teams are kind of in place and the negotiations are ongoing. There is one for which we're sort of at a break point where in January we'll be starting a new process. That's with the Road Patrol. So I would like to nominate Jim Dennis and Brian Robison to be our representatives on the negotiating team, along with staff, which is Joe and Anita, on that team. So that it's a chair's appointment, but upon motion by the legislature. So if I could entertain a motion to affirm that those appointments. Pat, so moved. And Will seconds. Is there any discussion? Any questions? All right. All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? Thank you very much. And thank you, Brian and Jim, for agreeing to do that work. So that's my report. County Administrator Joe Mariana.
Thanks, Martha. Very short tonight. Quick item of business. Most of you have turned your surveys in electronically or on paper. There's three of you who haven't yet, so if you wouldn't mind doing that, it'd be great. These provide us a lot of insight about how to make the budget process better year after year. I think this is the last meeting of the year, so it is an opportunity to take a very quick look back and to recognize how much good work has happened over the course of a year that I don't know that any of us could really prepare for. This is a year that had conditions that our parents' parents told us about. And somehow through commitment, good thought, a lot of interaction, we've worked our way through it. And I hope the public knows how much time this legislature puts into this important job. I've told you before, coming from where I did, I've never seen anything like this in terms of an engaged legislature who stays away from the petty, stays away from the partisan, and concentrates on a constructive commitment. And I appreciate it, and I think it shows itself in the work that we produce. Looking back at this year, I also want to recognize the work of department heads and the people that work in our departments. This has been an incredible year for them as well. They've done more with less. They've had to deal with caseloads that we haven't seen in probably our lifetimes. And that applies to people who work in the human service building as much as people who man the trucks who plow the snow. They're doing a lot with less. And I think as we look back over the course of a very difficult year, we need to acknowledge that and express appreciation. So, again, we still have a lot of work cut out for us. Next year is going to be a hard year, too. But looking back, I think we've got to feel pretty good about what we've been able to accomplish in spite of these very difficult circumstances. So I wanted to thank you for that. That's my report.
Thank you very much, Joe. I certainly echo those sentiments on behalf of the entire legislature and the incredible leadership that you provided, and along with the department heads. And it's been a pleasure to work with you.
Thank you.
So, County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
I don't have a report, but I do want to say, you know, Barb was introducing a lot of people, and she didn't get to introduce Tom, Kat, and Leo, who are in the back. But Leo Riley and Tom Richardson know an incredible amount about operations and recycling facilities, and they are, you know, not just crucial to doing any contract, but crucial to having the Recycling and Solid Waste Center run, and they're really good. Nothing more.
Thank you, Jonathan. And now you know everything there is to know also about solid waste. Finance Director David Squires.
I just want to report that, put in your boxes the November sales tax information, and I'm happy to report that, you know, our financial plan presumes that sales tax will increased by about 3.3% for the year. And through the 11th month of the year, right now we're 3.8% ahead. So, for the month of November, which is sales tax was up 8%. And my observations is that there's been very brisk activity in the retail markets around the county. So I'm hoping that we'll see that we'll grow a little even higher than the 3.8% by the time the year's over, and we'll know those figures at the end of the latter part of January. And that's my report.
Thank you very much, David. Any questions? Thank you. Consent agenda. These are resolutions and appointments to be voted on as a group. If there's anything you want pulled from the agenda, just please holler. Resolution A, budget adjustments, various departments. Resolution B, authorizing a multi-year contract with the Vineskin Company. Okay. Resolution C, designation of newspaper. Resolution D, correction of errors. Resolution E, delegation of authority to authorize certain tax and solid waste fee refunds under $500. Resolution F, authorization to disperse funds, county administration. Resolution G, G is off.
Which one?
G. Frank, it was G. Resolution H, implementation of 2011 budget, departmental fees. Resolution I, revised. Off. Resolution J, approval of amended bylaws, criminal justice alternatives to incarceration advisory board. And appointments. Library Board of Trustees, Laura Litchfield-Kimber, Christine Sanchirico, and Cynthia Nicholson. Public Information Advisory Board, David E. Wieser. Community Mental Health Services Board, Harmony Ayers Friedlander, R.P. Hovagimian, and Ellen O'Donnell. Community Mental Health Services Board, Lisa Marr. Community Mental Health, that was the MRDD Subcommittee. The Community Mental Health Services Board, Substance Abuse Subcommittee, Ron Schoeneman, Meredith DePaul, and Greg Furman. Personal Emergency Response Service Advisory Committee, Wilfred Drew, and Office for the Aging Advisory Committee, Leroy Walney and Ardith Bennett. So that's the consent agenda. Do I have a motion?
Madam Chair, before you go to motion, can I ask if Resolution B is pulled?
Was B pulled, yes.
Thank you.
Did I see Pat? You had your hand up for the consent agenda in less than seconds. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Consent agenda is passed. Now let's do a little juggling. I see Dwight Mengel in the back. Susie, if you're here for J, that's been approved. Okay, good. All right, Dwight Mengel, you are here for Resolution Q. Am I right? Okay. Then Pam McAsey, Chair of Planning, Development, Environmental Quality, would you like to take that one?
Okay. Resolution Q, authorizing participation in the ITN Everywhere Mobility Management Project, and I so move.
Is there a second? Frank seconds. Any questions? Or Pam, do you want to say anything? Ready to vote. Kathy.
Thank you. I noted that in the explanation at the top of page 2, it talks about ITN Everywhere using existing and new volunteer transportation services to connect with TCAT buses and other operators. Just want to clarify for the record, since in the 1, 2, 3, 4th whereas, it talks about the local steering committee and the membership of that, including the ITCTC, the County Office for the Aging, Department of Social Services, Finger Lakes Independent Center, Ithaca Car Share, Cornell Cooperative Extension of Tompkins County, Way to Go, and Gadabout, working to evaluate the desirability of participating. It's implicit in that, but I would like to make it explicit for the record that TCAT is a member of the ITCTC and that TCAT has been involved in these discussions and is an integral part of this planning partnership.
Pam.
Well, I'd like to move that we make an amendment and we include that in there.
Yeah.
Is there specific language on it?
Well, you just take out the "and" before "gadabout" and put a comma after that and put "TCAT."
Okay, we're talking about the fourth whereas, right?
Yes, one, two, three, fourth whereas.
And just include TCAT in that list?
That's right, TCAT, as we
right.
all know.
TCAT. So after Tompkins County, way to go, then TCAT, comma, and Gadabout, correct?
Well, that isn't what I said, but that's fine, too.
Does it matter where it is?
It doesn't make any difference.
Okay. Is that okay, Kathy? That's the idea?
I'm thrilled.
Okay. And that was friendly. All right. Any other discussion? Ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution Q with that one change, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Great. All right. I am looking around the audience. Pam, would you, how about you go to Resolution R?
I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
Okay. As I'm introducing this, I would like people to know that in their packets, there is a proposed amendment to it. I'm going to just introduce the resolution. Resolution R, resolution prohibiting leasing of county-owned land for natural gas drilling using high-volume hydrofracturing. And I so move.
And Carol seconds. Dooley.
Well, Pam called attention to a proposed amendment, so I would like to move the amendments. You all have it in your packet. I'm not quite sure how best to describe the amendments. It removes two whereases and a parenthetical phrase in another whereas. So that would be the sixth whereas gets rid of the parenthetical phrase 30 to 40 years. The seventh whereas disappears, and the tenth whereas disappears. It doesn't change the overall thrust of the resolution.
I consider that friendly.
And Carol?
I do, too.
It's friendly. So that is now the motion that's on the floor.
I second that.
Okay, that's good. All right. Anything else, Kathy?
I'd just like to ask, since the original Resolution R showed votes at Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee and votes at Facilities and Infrastructure Committee that involved no votes on the part of some legislators, whether and which resolution addresses any, concerns that they might have had that led them to a no vote, so that I can make a more informed decision on which one of these to pick. Personally, I'll just say they had me at jeopardizing our water. And for me, a shorter one is fine, but I understand this is a consensus iterative process, and I'd like to have some clue as to where the consensus and iteration lies at this moment.
So if anyone who voted against us previously would like to speak to that, Pat?
I could speak to that, Kathy. We had extensive discussion about this again, and the revised proposed amendment that Dooley just described is the result of that discussion and addresses specifically the concerns that I had in voting no, and so I'm now committed to supporting this resolution as amended.
Thank you. Anyone else? I'll first invite if Frank and Leslie want to address that. Kat, Frank? What?
Mike Lane.
I'm sorry,
he voted against it in committee.
No, I didn't, but I thought I would address, since I have a substitute here, I would just mention why. I'm not going to move the substitute.
Okay, let me give Frank and Leslie a chance if they want to answer Kathy's question. Frank?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Kathy, the reason I voted against it at the Planning Committee was a procedural one. I'm certainly not in favor of having the 556 acres of county lands drilled on. But I thought the county, any contract or any consideration that we'd have to give this process on county land would have to be passed, if you will, by this body. There's no way that the 15 of us are going to let this happen. There just isn't. We have spent a lot of time, good time, but a lot of people put a lot of time in on this, not just legislators, but county staff. And frankly, I think our time could have been spent more productively. We will come to the same conclusion, and here we are talking about it again. I'm not going to argue about the provisions, but it seems that everybody, this was like a Christmas tree. Everybody wanted to put something in, and I'm hoping at the appropriate time, Mike Lane will offer his as a substitute, but maybe he won't. But that's why I voted against it at committee. I simply felt that I'm not supportive of this on county lands, but we've spent weeks, as a matter of fact, more than that, drafting this thing.
Lesson, did you want to say anything?
Not really, but I will, because Kathy asked. And Kathy, I voted against this resolution in committee because I had nightmarish memories of discussion we had on the floor with gas drilling, where there were so many expert opinions on things that I didn't know about chemicals and all these things. So the two whereases that came out pretty much were the bone of contention for me, although I also wanted something simpler that essentially just said, this is our land, we're not going to approve any of this, period, over and done with. Don't like it, it's bad for us, we're not going to do it. I just wanted something simpler. But I can live with a substitute resolution because it has taken out some of the assumptions, because things go both ways. We believe this, but not everybody does. And so it makes sense to me to vote on something that does not include these things that can be argued so strongly.
Thank you, Leslie. Anyone else? Jim, and then Mike?
It's a question. A week or so ago, I received an email, and all of you probably did, from a professor at Cornell, and he made the point that we don't refer to hydraulic anymore, it's hydro. And for those of you, if there are any experts left, I kind of understand hydraulic and how things work hydraulically, but what's the difference in terms of the agenda? Oh, and I knew there would be someone with an answer.
I saw Peter's hand, and or Julie, yeah, to answer that.
Is that a serious question? Do you want?
Well, I mean, hydro.
It's a lot of water.
Hold on.
One at a time, please.
I called on Peter first.
As far as I understand, hydro always refers to water, right, and hydraulic refers to fluid.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Write that down, Jim.
Julie, did you want to say anything
else?
That's
what I was going to say.
Mike, and then Carol.
I'm going to call a question.
Okay, question's been called. All in favor of ending the debate on this revised resolution, please raise your hand. Any opposed? So, question is called. That was unanimous. All in favor of the revised resolution are, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That carries 14 to 1. Thank you very much. All right, so let's see, back to the schedule, back to the order of things. Is there any other staff waiting for anything in particular? Ed and Arel, I think you're waiting for what's past the meeting. Okay. All right, then let us go to Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair, and Frank, you've got the one of yours off from consent as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The committee met on December 8th, and most of the action that's on the agenda tonight are actions that we did discuss. We had quite a discussion about the ITN everywhere, because of the human the human resources network or human services network that's coming through. I was a little puzzled as to the order of committees, but nonetheless, the Health Committee had an opportunity to review it and certainly was supportive. Other than that, it was a relatively short meeting, and I will just defer to any questions that anyone has. We did have most of our action items reflected on the agenda tonight. Just to remind you, though, that the next committee meeting, we did schedule another committee meeting because generally we have to carry over so that business can be completed. The next meeting is the 12th of January at 3:30.
Thank you, Frank. Let me just say, I should have included that in my report, that I would like to suggest that since this is a transition point for our committees, that committee chairs should plan for, committee members should plan for the month of January to be the same committee schedule as and membership as the month of, as the rest of 2010, and you know, if chairs feel there's not enough business, of course they can cancel, but let's just assume you've got the same schedule going forward unless you've made other specific arrangements. Mm-hmm. Thanks for reminding me, Frank.
You bet. Would you like me to start?
Sure.
That's Resolution K.
I'm sorry, start with B. It was off consent.
B. Oh, give me a second. Resolution B is authorizing a multiple-year contract with Vineski & Company for the preparation of a cost allocation plan for the years 2010 through 2012, and I'll move that.
Kathy, you're seconding? Okay, and I'm not sure who pulled it off. Mike?
I pulled that off, and I've seen this resolution before, and I guess maybe my question is to Dave. I realize that they're specialists here, but Mike, can I ask this question?
Sure.
And that is, have we made any effort to see if there are any other firms out there that do this work, and if so, if they might be do it for less money?
There are firms that will do this work that will do it for more money. Matter of fact, Vineski & Company, it's a niche assignment, and right. So what happens, you have pretty much every county under 200,000 people uses Vineski because of the size of that. Generally, they use local accountants to do their financial reporting, just as Tompkins County does. And local firms are not equipped to do a cost allocation plan because it's such a specialized business. So we can pay more by having a larger firm do it for us. But if you noted that we have been paying the same amount for the last 18 years. And I can wholeheartedly, you know, testify that there's no way we could find somebody to do it quickly and at the price we have been continuing to do it for.
Okay, my question, you're talking about a five-year.
There's nobody, and there's nobody in New York State. The only competitor is in Pennsylvania that does engagements that would be under $20,000 a year. Is a Pennsylvania firm, a Scrimp.
Thank you.
Last one.
I beg your pardon.
So, David, I had a similar question to Mike. As a matter of fact, I wrote if there was an RFP or bid process when this was first done. I don't know how long this company has been doing. I remember seeing this as well.
It's been doing it before I came to Tompkins County.
Before you came on board.
And I've been here since 1992. And they've had multi-year agreements. And it's basically because they specialize in this niche type of operation. They only do health care and cost allocation plans.
Yeah, I'll talk to you some more. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Did you want to say something else?
No, I just wanted to draw your attention to the note at the bottom of that resolution. And I think David said it already, that the breakdown that's billable to each department is at the bottom of the resolution there. And they are continuing at the same fee that they have had in the past.
Thank you, Frank. Are we ready to vote on Resolution B? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Kathy, you're in favor, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you.
Next resolution is Resolution K, appropriation from contingent fund public health director's search expenses, health department. And I move that.
Is there a second? Kathy seconds. Dooling.
The way it's written, it wasn't obvious to me whether the appropriation deals only with the first search and whether that covers the entire first search. Is that what that means?
This, as I understand it, these are only the expenses associated with the first search.
It's the second whereas that confused me. So maybe in the resolved, would it be agreeable to add that to cover expenses incurred in the first search for a public health director?
Sure, that's fine.
And Kathy, is that friendly to you?
Yes, I'm just wondering if we shouldn't just strike the second whereas if it's confusing.
No, I think we ought to leave that in. Maybe we ought to say a second search is currently underway with...
Well, that will incur additional expenses.
Yet to be it, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what it says.
Okay. Additional expenses yet to be incurred.
Anything else? Ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution K, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. I'm sorry. Geez, that was supposed to be a short-form roll call. I'm sorry.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? All right, then that's unanimous.
Okay, Resolution L, authorizing changes in charge structure, Tompkins County Home Health Care Health Department. And I'll move that.
Is there a second? Pam seconds that. Questions? Leslie?
It is not a question, but it's an observation. I really appreciate reading in the notes section. It was a little jarring. Let me start with when I read the pricing and cost. But it was good to have the notes that indicated, and I'm saying this publicly, that the department maintains the use of a sliding fee scale for those patients paying for services out of pocket, because it's very expensive services. And sometimes things are billed to you according to what your income looks like, not considering all of the other things that one might have to pay for. I really appreciate the department continues to maintain the ability to waive a fee in special circumstances, and would love to hear more information at some point about what's the criteria, what are some of the special circumstances that are considered. So I thought that was really great and worth proclaiming that we're not just sticklers to this, you know, $275, you know, dollars or whatever it is, but that there is consideration for what people are able to do so they're not denied care. So thank you for the note.
Thanks, Leslie. I'll pass that along. Thank you very much. And we could have that discussion.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution L, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. And one more, Frank.
One more. Resolution M, appropriation from contingent fund terminal pay youth services department. And I so move.
Is there a second? Dave seconds. Discussion? Dooley.
I noticed the up to language that was added at budget. I called David Squires to ask him why don't we know the figures exactly, and he left me a message on my answering machine explaining it, but I didn't really grasp it, and I'd like to ask him again if he could explain why we don't know the figures precisely at this point. or whether we could defer it until we do.
The up to was added at my request at the Budget Committee. This is the exact amount of the request. What the up to is intended is that we supplement the department up to this amount. If they only needed $20,000 rather than $23,000, because if you previously noted during the budget conversations that we were not allowing personal services balances or fringe balances to be used to calculation of 2010 rollover. So it serves no purpose to put more money that's needed into the budget. So if this, and I can tell you from this transaction, technically they're not going to need all this fringe amount to supplement the account, because terminal pay only, the only expense in terminal pay really is FICA and not retirement, because the retirement benefit is based upon the prior year's billing. So that's why we put up to, so we don't have to put money in needlessly and save the contingent balance for mandated services.
Because of the fringe item in particular.
And traditionally, the departments have always requested the exact amount of terminal pay, whether or not they needed the exact amount of terminal pay to maintain their budget.
So would it have been correct to have those words up to in every previous resolution? We just haven't had that before?
Well, I just, because this year we...
Or it's the change in policy for this year.
Because of the policy, yeah.
So it will end, it won't apply next year.
If the policy is personal services can roll into rollover, correct.
We just did it for a year? Yeah. Okay, thank you.
So are you okay with it the way it reads?
I understand it now. I don't like it, but I understand it.
It just would be better to get this, since this is the last voting meeting we have this year, it would be good to get it done.
Okay. Ready to vote? A short form roll call.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? Thank you. That's unanimous.
Thanks,
all right.
Martha.
All set, Frank? Thank you. Dooley Kiefer, Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, we took care of your resolution, but if you have a report.
I don't have a report. Okay. I've forgotten everything about it except solid waste, which is I've been thinking about the last couple of days. I'm sorry.
And
we will meet on the.
So you hit finish the last meeting.
Yeah, we will meet on the first Friday of January. Okay. After all, since that's what you said we should be doing, and I expect there will be need to meet.
Okay, that's January 7th. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Dooley, did you want to mention the meeting last night on Pine Tree Road?
Yes. I missed the beginning of it, but yes, there was a well-attended meeting in that neighborhood for Pine Tree Road residents to hear about the Pine Tree Road trail and what was it, pedestrian and bicycle improvements. Staff did a very good job of commenting on all the residents' concerns that had been turned in ahead of time and explaining the county's position so far on those. Staff also took questions from the public in attendance, and our own Peter Stein was the last of the governmental speakers who gave information to the public. And Peter, what you talked about was the first time I had realized what you'd been up to, and I think it would be really nice if you told the rest of our colleagues about the ad hoc subcommittee of the Metropolitan Planning Organization that you're part of, addressing speeding issues.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we've had a small group consisting of Fernando and Tom Mank and myself organized as a committee of the IT, I wish I knew all those numbers, those letters.
ITCTC.
ITCTC. where we have been discussing the issue of speeding in the county and trying to get some hold on where are the areas that are worst in speeding, which we think are present the greatest hazards to the community. Not all streets are the same. And we've been working together to develop a methodology whereby we can just look at the numbers that we have and get a list of streets which it would be the roads on which it would be most important to somehow get a control on the speeding. We have a list of about 12 streets. I don't have them with me, but I know that Pine Tree Road is one of those streets. And the general idea is to try to work with the DA's office and the justices and the sheriff's office to see if we can put together some kind of a meaningful enforcement program which will have teeth to it and which can be done within the limits of the funding that we've given to the sheriff's department to make a difference. And it's still a work in progress.
Thank you, Peter. Pat.
Thank you, Mike.
I have a question for Peter.
Sure.
Peter, I'm thinking that other legislators may be aware of places in the areas that they represent that are particularly problematic when it comes to speeding. Is there some way that you're going to get that information on other parts of the county of which different ones of us might be familiar?
We certainly could do that. The database that we used is every place that the county has measured speeds and volume and accidents. Well, I guess accidents are measured everywhere, but every street on which there had been data taken on the traffic and speeding. And those were the basic places where that we used to look at to find the worst in that group. Then, in addition to that, the only other input that we took was we asked the sheriff, Sheriff Meskill, to just off the top of his head write down the 12 places that he thought were the worst. And there was pretty much complete overlap between the numbers that we had and the recommendations that he made. But I certainly think what you suggest is a good idea, and that I will suggest to the group that we've asked the legislators to give us their input.
Thank you.
It sounds like something that might kind of sort of move into, I think, probably the Public Safety Committee as a sort of further topic for discussion and engagement for all of us. So thank you very much. So, Julie, that's the end of your report.
Yes.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. I think there were 8 of us at that Pine Tree Road meeting, so we could have had a legislature meeting last night. But, so. All right, Capital Plan Review Committee met on December 9th, and again at 5 o'clock today with the Budget Committee. On December 9th, we had an update from Morella Morrow about the courthouse space study. There have been a few changes made in the schematic design, and the court is quite pleased with what we've got. There was discussion about adding a shower into probably one of the first floor bathrooms so that people in the whole downtown complex could have the option of either commuting to work by running or biking or taking a break at lunchtime, for example. That is an element for any LEED certification for a building would be to have such a facility available. So we talked about that some, and Arel said it could be added into the design and might be a minimal added cost. He also said that he has asked the court to update their space allocation. We pay and they reimburse us for maintenance based on a formula. Arel, if I'm correct, it's 50-50 right now. Based on the space study, the calculation is that the space should be 55-45, 55% state use. And in addition, there's space at the old courthouse that we're maintaining on their behalf, and in the old library, the programs there, so that it appears that our reimbursement, which is now $100,000, will be negotiated, you know, will be increased in the coming year or however long we're still in this location and in this configuration of space in this building. That's good news. Arel also gave us an update on the space studies for the Human Services Building and Mental Health Building. Those are kind of in draft form, and the consultants and Arel are working together with department heads, so we don't, they're not ready to bring that to the legislature yet. We'll be probably hearing about that in January or February. Most of our time was spent on the item that's in front of you in the resolution, on the center of government concept and this draft scope of work, which is an outline for what would be done, and then resolution O is the contingent fund request to fund that study. I believe, does everybody have that, the draft scope of work? It should be in your folders, I think. So the committee just approved that and made some additional, some changes to Arel's presentation, some additions, and then brought that tonight to the joint committee, the Budget and Capital and Capital Plan Committees. So we have, you have Resolution O in your packets, and Julie, you have the red line version, and if I can ask you as Vice Chair of Capital Plan to make the motion.
Yes. Resolution O, appropriation from contingent fund center of government study. And I'll move it, and then after it's seconded, I'll read the addition.
That's fine. Frank seconds.
The change is in the last whereas. The county's facilities division has developed a scope of work that would guide that analysis, and that shall be a part of the record of this legislative action, and which scope of work may be able to be accomplished for an estimated $50,000. That's now therefore be it resolved.
So that was passed by both committees this evening. All right. Is there any discussion? Kathy.
What does that mean?
It means that it may cost more. It's estimated to be $50,000. It may be able to be accomplished for $50,000. The $50,000 was settled on before the scope of work got somewhat enlarged. And so that language is an early warning that it may wind up costing more than $50,000, but we're only going to take $50,000 out of the contingent fund. It'll be, Arel will negotiate with whoever gets chosen, and we'll see what it costs.
And if there is an additional cost that is negotiated, that would come out of next year's contingent, request would be out of next year's contingent fund. This is all that's requested right now.
I'm just trying to figure out if this is a blank check.
No. Any additional cost would have to come back to us, and we aren't there.
Before the additional costs were agreed upon.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Arel, would you want to talk a minute about the things that were added at committee, at the first committee, since this is your document? Just to explain Dooley's addition in the resolution.
Right. The original scope was going to compare status quo, the existing buildings, against a new center of government building. What we added was a combination of the two, keeping some buildings and maybe building a smaller center of government, moving certain departments there. Also, we would explore the reuse of the buildings that may be vacated, which were not part of the original scope, and also looking at efficiencies by consolidating department functions or operations. So those are more qualitative than economic or space efficiencies. So those were three things that we added from the original scope that was estimated at $50,000.
Thank you, Arel. Frank?
Arel, one of the items we talked about at the meeting just before this one was in that body of all the departments that we're considering, you mentioned something about prioritizing some of those departments.
Right, that's a good point. Also, in the original scope, we didn't have as many departments included. And in the last Capital Plan Review Committee meeting, we added central services, records management, county clerk, ITCTC had been included, but we included them specifically here rather than lump them with planning. And yes, when excuse me, when we select a consultant, we would prioritize which departments would have first priority as far as occupying a center of government or a proposed center of government facility. I've basically grouped them A, B, and C groups, or A being the central administrative departments, B group. The C would probably be like county clerk, central services, records management.
Any other discussion? So, ready to vote? All right, this is a short form roll call.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous. Thank you, Dooley. Thank you all. The that's the end of the Capital Plan Review Report. I would like to ask for a five-minute recess. And we'll come back at 25 up. This is, if you remember, we used to do this when that Jim Blizzard had asked us to do this. He could change the tapes, gives everybody a chance to stretch, and we'll come back refreshed. All right? Thank you very much.